You are listening to the Developing Up Podcast.
This is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Developing Up Podcast. This is the podcast where we focus on the non-technical side of being a developer. And as always, we're your hosts. I'm Mike Miles.
And I am Jake Reynes. And today we are talking about the four important aspects that go into having a strong and robust team.
Yeah, and this definitely, these four things, Jake, not only play into a development team, but any sort of team, such as a podcast team, perhaps?
Yes, and I think we've built a really strong trust in our relationship and our ability to develop this podcast.
Yeah, so if you want to learn what Jake and I believe are the four aspects that make up an effective and healthy team, you should keep listening.
Enjoy. Good afternoon, Mike. How's it going?
No. I'm going to turn it around.
Oh.
I'm going to do it. All right. How are you doing today, Jake?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Mike. How are you?
I'm feeling appreciated today, Jake.
Oh, that's good. Why is that?
So there is a community I work with. For our listeners, I tend to do a lot of work with the Drupal community and the Boston Drupal community. For the last couple of months, I've been working with the team of community organizers to really ramp up our community here and our presence and how we support each other. And as a token of appreciation, they sent me the other day some custom stickers with my name on them. And they're just awesome. Jake, why don't you describe what you're seeing here with this awesome sticker?
So this is very, very cool. We're going to have to put a picture of this in the show notes, but it is the blue Drupal drop. He's wearing a monocle and a suit with a blue bow tie. And there is a customized ribbon underneath it that has Mr. Miles, which is Mike Miles' last name. This is very cool. Is this going on the laptop?
Oh, it went. For the first time, I actually peeled stickers off my laptop to put this right in the center.
Awesome.
So...
yeah, no, that's very cool. And you guys can't see, but Mike has the most decked out laptop full of stickers. It's pretty awesome. I think he beats anyone in our office by a long shot.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. I feel bad for the person who has to peel those stickers off.
A lot of rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, no, it's not my job.
No, but that's really cool. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
It's great to be part of an awesome team.
Yeah, especially to feel appreciated with the team. That's one of those things that I believe makes a healthy team.
I would agree. And it just so happens that that's what we're talking about today. So today's topic is about working on a team. What does it mean to be part of a strong and healthy team?
And what you can do to make sure that you are being a good team member and really supporting the people on your team.
So why don't we talk first about the attributes that make up a healthy team? Or maybe actually it's probably better to take a step back and talk about why it's important to have a healthy team.
Yeah, let's start with the negative. Let's get that out of the way.
And some of these things I would say are pretty obvious, but it helps strengthen the foundation of our points moving forward.
Yeah. So what happens when you do not have a healthy team?
The first thing that comes to mind is projects don't run smoothly. You need to have an organized team that has systems in place. They're efficient. They understand each other and their strengths. But if none of those things are in place, you're going to start having problems with your projects.
Yeah, and a big issue that comes from not developing trust and poor attitudes with team members. And not that everyone has to get along together, but everyone has to respect each other on a team and know that you're building towards a certain goal.
Those bad attitudes can spawn even more negativity and create feelings of resentment, which is never something you want on your team. It's a really hard thing to undo.
And as you said a moment ago, Jake, that can lead to inefficiencies and poor productivity because the team members don't want to work together, so they're not going to work as well and get as much done.
Right. I think developers working in an individual silo creates an isolation amongst the team, and you also don't want that. People risk getting burnt out. I would say, though, that in discussing this prior to the show, we kind of distilled it down to building trust as being one of the key elements or one of the most important aspects of being part of a strong team.
I would say that building trust is the most important aspect of working with a team.
Definitely, I agree.
And every other positive that comes out of a healthy team is due to the trust the team members have for each other. You know, no matter who makes up that team, if there's trust between all the members of it, then you're going to be able to produce great things together.
So, Mike, let me ask you, what is the first thing that comes to mind when it comes to building trust on a team?
The first thing that comes to my mind for building trust on a team is building communication and effective communication between team members.
Do you want to talk about why communication is important, and then we can kind of bring it back full circle and go into detail a little bit more?
Yeah, let's talk about why communication is important and how that leads to a healthy team.
The first thing that comes to mind for me as to why communication is important is because if no one is communicating, you are basically working in complete isolation from each other. And that can only lead to problems. You could have people tripping over each other in the code. You could have miscommunications happening across teams. People could get frustrated with each other. It's like a chicken cutting its own head off.
Oh, I would like to see that.
It's like a chicken running around with its head cut off.
And that's interesting. You know what it makes me think about? Have you ever heard of the hit by a bus scenario?
I've heard of the notion of someone getting hit by a bus tomorrow and we're screwed without their...
Right. And so this may have happened to you on projects where there's fear that if this one person on the team is suddenly gone, then the whole project is going to fall apart. That fear comes from having poor lines of communication and working in silos. Now, it's good to have people who are subject matter experts, but sharing that knowledge and communicating to everyone else so everyone knows what's going on and how things work removes that fear that this one person is the key member of this team. If everyone's communicating effectively and sharing their knowledge with each other, then there's less of that fear and people can pick up if teams change, if team members go away for whatever reason.
Yeah, and particularly with how complex some of our projects get, it's just really important to communicate some of those smaller details so they don't get lost.
So let's talk about a couple of ways that you can foster effective communication on your team.
Jira.
Jira.
I think Jira and Trello are great ways to help foster communication. Maybe not the kind of organic conversation that you want to be having all the time, but that helps account for the hit by the bus scenario. Other ways to communicate are in person whenever possible. You don't necessarily always want to be interrupting someone, but having that face-to-face interaction is important at times, particularly if you need to have a more in-depth conversation that maybe isn't appropriate to have through email. But email and instant messenger are also great ways to communicate too. I think the important takeaway is that you are making other people aware of the work you're doing. You're making other people aware of the work you've completed. You're listening to other people. You're offering suggestion, so on.
So Jake, let me recap that. Communication can be met by using task management tools like Trello and Jira. Those are, I see those more as the formal communication between team members. Then there is the in-person or more just the FaceTime with team members, whether that's in-person or like Skype or video chats or WebExes or whatnot. And using those to have that face-to-face in that direct communication with someone to express those ideas you have that may not be easy to articulate through type. Another important thing for building up communication with a team is having a less formal way for team members to talk with each other. For example, where we work, a lot of teams use Slack to chat with each other, and we have a lot of fun in our Slack chat rooms and post GIFs and just let off steam and vent there, but it's not recorded in a place where the client may see it.
Slack is an awesome collaboration tool, and ever since we've introduced it into our workflow, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. But communication, I mean, aside from just tools, communication happens with your own team members, but it also happens with other team members. So you're going to be interfacing with project managers or members of other teams like designers. And in those conversations, it's not only important that you're communicating for the sake of communicating, it's also important that you're communicating in a way that is benefiting everyone. So being able to break apart technical details of a project into a way that someone who is less technically savvy can understand it is really important, because some of the things we do are really complex and it takes having your own trade to really understand them. So you can't expect everyone else on other teams to completely understand that. And then taking it a step further, being able to interface with the client, being the face of the company, being professional, that's also another important aspect of communication.
Yeah, again, just remembering who is on your team, and your client is on your team. So you want to effectively communicate with them to the best of your abilities. And I like what you said about thinking about how you're going to talk about, you know, these really technical development-minded issues where people may not have the same background that you have. So finding a more general way to express your ideas. And the one last thing I would add to communication and how it really builds trust with the team is because if you're an effective communicator, that means you're an honest communicator. And in previous episode, we talked about the value and why it's important to be able to say as a developer to say yes, no, and I don't know. And if you feel confident in saying those three things with the rest of the members on your team, you're showing your team that you can be honest with them and that you trust them to help support you and that you will help support them, and just opens those methods of communication between everybody.
And in turn, that honestly builds trust with you. And that's one of the key points we're driving at here today.
Yeah. And with that honesty and being able to say those things to your team, I think that leads into our second point, which is seeking responsibility.
So with seeking responsibility, Mike, do you want to give a quick rundown on why it's important?
There is one major reason, Jake, why taking responsibility on a team is of the utmost importance. And that's because when one person fails on a team, the whole team fails.
Mike is pointing his pen at me with conviction as he said that.
I'm very serious, because if you work on enough teams, you will understand this. Success of a team drives on the fact that everyone is taking responsibility for the work they're doing and the work of their teammates and making sure that everything can be done as good as possible.
Would you say that the metaphor a chain is only as strong as its weakest link is appropriate here?
Yeah, that's a very appropriate metaphor if we want to use metaphors, definitely.
I really like that. I think you're dead on with it. I know that I have been guilty in the past of trying to absolve myself of certain responsibilities because it makes my life or even just my day in the short term easier, but it's really not a good practice to get into. And I've actually found much more success in both my career and the proficiency of my team by actively seeking responsibility.
So Jake, how are some of the ways that you go about taking responsibility?
So I will tell you, Mike, but the one thing that I want to say first when it comes to seeking responsibility is to also have an awareness of other people's responsibilities. Other people have responsibilities, and it's not right for you to step on their toes or to try to go above their heads and do their work for them. You don't want to cross wires because that just can end up badly. So seeking responsibility for me means looking for opportunities that I can inject myself into a project in a way that is going to help the project and help facilitate communication amongst the team. So an example of that might be touching base with a designer and saying, hey, what are you working on? And they say such and such project. And I'd say, oh, cool. Can I check it out? And they would say, sure. And then they show me, they say, what do you think? And that's just a really healthy conversation to have, because now anytime that they have a question about development or a question about, hey, maybe is this feasible? They feel comfortable talking to me. And then maybe when the time comes around where it does go to development, they mention to the project manager that they say, Jake has taken a look at this. And that just helps me get involved in projects early on. It gives me the opportunity to raise flags if need be. And it helps set the project on a good course when it comes to the development side of things.
So what I like about what you're explaining there, Jake, is you're actively seeking ways that you could basically open up methods of communication with team members. You're not waiting for that to be set up by, say, a project manager or someone else's responsibility it is for getting the team together. You're seeking out, how can I reach out to these other team members to help them? And in turn, that helps yourself.
Exactly. It's really important in our world to have a harmony that exists between design and development. Design is the visual bread and butter, and we're the ones that need to bring it to life. And so the relationship between those two sides is something that can always be improved on. So I always look for opportunities to improve that relationship. Now, another aspect of seeking responsibility is to take ownership of the work that you already have. And this is something that I've been guilty of. I've seen other developers do it too. When you take on a project and it's code that you haven't written, sometimes it's not the cleanest of code and you're expected to work on it or improve upon it deep down inside, you're saying, oh, this isn't my code. I don't want to work on this. But you're better off by taking responsibility for that code. And even if you didn't write it, you don't need to point fingers. Pointing fingers doesn't help anyone. Just own that project from now on, because no one's expecting you to pull a rabbit out of a hat.
That kind of goes back to what we mentioned earlier about working in a silo. And this, interesting enough, ties back to a point that Robert C. Martin, he is the author of The Clean Coder. Excellent book for anyone who's looking to become a better developer and up their development game. But he has a bunch of sections on working on a team with other developers. And in that silo, people being very protective of their code. If you're one of those people who does that, then you're not giving other team members an opportunity to improve the product you're producing or to learn from them. Right. So taking that ownership of responsibility for sections of code that may not be doing well, and you do not want to feel you can't talk to someone and be like, hey, I think there could be a more elegant solution than what we have implemented here. I think we could improve this area. I want to take this over and help make it better. That goes a long way.
Yeah, no, it certainly does.
So another aspect I want to add, I really liked your take on what you meant by responsibility seeking and how you can go about that. I think those are excellent points. And when I think about responsibility seeking, it's more like opportunity ownership. It's looking for those places that you can help out the team that no one is taking on. It's not being afraid to go past the line of saying, well, I'm just the developer. I'm just working on this one piece. I'm not the lead developer. I can't make a decision. It's saying, I know the lead developer has a lot on their plate that they're dealing with. I'm going to help out and I'm going to take this opportunity to see what I can do to help the team and come up with a possible solution and then present it to the team to get their way in and feedback.
Yeah, people tend to not ask for responsibility, and that's the opposite of what we're saying here. But by not asking for responsibility, in a way, you're stunting your growth as a developer. Being able to make those important decisions is a really, really great lesson. And I don't want to say this in a way that's going to come back to bite me, but it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. Now, that doesn't mean you should just go and do whatever you want, burn your projects down. But taking appropriate risks sometimes can also be a great way to kind of exercise those potential outlets of responsibility.
And that made me think about the book Taking People With You by David Novak. And it's all about leadership and working on a team. And one of the things he talks about is this idea of building together and building apart. And what that basically means is when you're working on a team and you get responsibilities, if you don't agree with the method that is being put into place, feeling confident that you can go to your dev lead or your product manager, whoever is setting these guidelines, and explain to them you think there's a better way to do it or a different way that it could be done. So that's building a part that you coming up with these separate ideas and you're not afraid to voice it, but then respecting the decisions of the others. So if they say, that's a great idea, but we can't do that because of these reasons, then working together, be like, okay, I voiced my opinion. I'm going to go do it this other way. And that's just a really big part of taking responsibility, is being able to voice those and take those chances and then not being afraid that if they're not agreed on and if the team wants to work in a different way. And so that leads into the attitude you have on a team and why that is very important, especially with these sort of team dynamics, that if someone rejects your idea, that you don't foster negative attitudes on a team.
Right. And part of being a responsible developer is being able to be the team player. And that comes with having a positive attitude.
Jake, let me ask, because I'm interested, what is your definition of a team player?
A team player is someone that is able to put their ego aside, someone who doesn't try to be competitive, someone who is able to listen and offer insights, is able to learn and pay that knowledge forward, and someone who is just easy to be around. Is that along the lines of what you think?
Jake, that is along the lines of what I think in my head as a definition for a good team player. So it's someone who can be honest, someone who is open with the team, someone who's not afraid to take risks, and someone who's supportive. And with that, especially, is someone who brings a positive attitude and a positive atmosphere. That's one of the things I really try to focus on when I work on a team. So I guess one of the things I try to do every day is just promote positivity and a positive atmosphere.
That's awesome. I've noticed that about you. You have a very bright personality, and you're always able to make people smile and laugh. I find that one of my worst qualities is my tendency to get frustrated and sometimes be negative. And I don't always mean to do it. Sometimes I do it in kind of a sarcastic or crass way, and I don't mean to, but I recognize that that is one of my weaknesses, is something that I'm trying to actively correct, because negativity just promotes more negativity. Particularly if you're trying to lead by example, then negativity is not the way to go as a manager.
And there's no way a negative team can be a healthy team. It's just impossible. It's an impossibility. I want to say, Jake, you can improve on your negativity and your attitude. I will let you know that it wasn't long ago where I was very negative and very pessimistic and had a lot of cynicism. Well, I had a lot of ego and I still do, but how I promote that is different, because it's all on attitude. And it's going to be like Mike's book club for this episode, because another book that really changed my mind was How to Make Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
That is a fantastic book.
It's an amazing book, and that really helped readjust how I approach, how I interact with the people on my team, the people in my community, the people in my company, my clients. Just taking a moment to take a step back and readjusting my attitude for any situation. And there's this saying, and I do not remember if it comes from that book or not, but you know, we own 50% of everything that happens to us. It's not that we can control the physical things that interact with our day, but we control how we react to them. And if you can put a positive spin on just about any situation that comes your way, that it's going to do a lot more for you than if you just have a negative, pessimistic attitude.
I love that phrase. And not to go off track, but just as a quick aside, it can also tie into seeking responsibility. If we own half of everything that happens, then we can take responsibility for at least half of it, if not more of it.
Yeah, and take ownership. And yeah, totally agree.
And getting back to attitude, we said negativity promotes more negativity, but on the flip, positivity also promotes more positivity. And if that is an attitude in which you can actively pursue, always being outgoing, always being friendly and positive, being the fun person to be around, then that's just going to rub off on your team as well.
So I have a couple of examples we could talk through about how to have a positive attitude. And I'll keep it focused to development. So there will be times, say you're working on a project and you've put a lot of your effort, sweat, blood, and tears, quote unquote, into writing this great functionality. You present it to the client. It looks good. And they just say, no, it's wrong. This doesn't work correctly. It's real easy to come out of those sort of meetings with a negative attitude, be like, I can't believe they said that. Like, how dare they do that? But if you flip how you think about the situation, then you can have a positive outcome and say, I learned that what they wanted is something different, and I have a new challenge ahead of me to solve a new problem.
I have a long way to go.
It's hard. You can't always do it, because I mean, we're humans, right? So we're going to be negative. And It's okay to come out of those situations feeling negative, but before you act on it, reflecting and coming up with the positive situation out of that sort of scenario.
Yeah, give yourself a challenge in that you are responsible for your positive attitude. So even if you have a feeling of negativity, then you need to do everything that you can to fight it and switch the table around. Now, I can't always take my own advice, but that's the advice that I'm going to give.
All right, Jake. So I'm going to give you and our listeners a challenge.
All right.
The very next time you are faced with a negative situation on your team, so whether it be feedback or a mistake that happened, before you do anything, think about what is the positive outcome from this.
Okay. Challenge accepted.
All right. And listeners, I hope you accept that challenge as well. Find the positive spin on the negative situation, and you'll see there's a lot more you can learn, and you will be a much better team player on your team.
Love it.
So Jake, now when you have this great attitude and you're being this good team player, what happens because of that is that it leads to great collaboration between you and other members of your team.
Collaboration is another one of the major cornerstones of building trust on your team. And it's important to remember, just because you're an incredible developer doesn't mean you're a good collaborator. And so that boils down to, just because you're an incredible developer does not make you a good team member.
I would agree with that statement. Great developers are those who can, you know, solve problems. Actually, you know what? Great developers aren't people who can just solve problems. Great developers are people who can collaborate with others and who know their limitations and how to ask for help and get knowledge from other people.
I like that you said knowing limitations, because knowing limitations also is a way to recognize that everyone has their own strengths. You have your own strength. I have my own strength. How can we all work together to tackle this in the most efficient way possible? Because this is not my project. This is not your project. It's our project.
That's a very motivational way to say that, Jake. I like that, but it's definitely true.
I don't have a pen like you to point at you with conviction, but if I did. So going along with being able to recognize people's strengths, it also reinforces our, you know, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link metaphor. And the more that everyone can recognize this, the better.
So. Yeah, and being able to collaborate and having that positive attitude and collaboration and that active communication allows you to take more risks and not be afraid to make mistakes, because you know if you make a mistake, you can work alongside your other team member to fix it, that you have that support system. So you can learn more as a developer by being collaborative.
So one personality trait that can be absolutely detrimental to a team is the ego. Would you agree, Mike?
I would agree with that from experience, definitely.
So now ego isn't something that anyone ever sets out to have. I believe that it's just something that happens organically. And if you are not aware of it, it can get in the way.
Yeah, it's not to say that having an ego is necessarily a bad thing and does not lead to collaboration or allow for a collaboration, but letting your ego run wild and not being willing to accept the ideas of others is detrimental to your performance and the team's performance.
I like the way you said that. To some degree, we all have an ego, whether it's related to development or not, but we all have an ego. It's a matter of learning how to control that ego. And just because you might know a solution to a problem doesn't mean that you should dismiss someone else's solution to a problem. Particularly when it comes to development, we know there's a million different ways to solve the same problem.
I challenge our listeners to think back of a time they've been on a team, especially a team when a new member has joined, a new developer, and that new developer brings in new ideas and new ways of thinking. It's very easy to automatically think, that's wrong. What they're doing is wrong. We have a set way that works and it's great and it's perfect. What they're doing is not going to work for us. Immediately knocking that potential idea and not collaborating with those new team members, one, it's a very pessimistic and negative attitude to have, which we know does not lead to a good team. But then you lose out on these new creative methods that you can learn from and grow from as a developer, and then spark new ideas in yourself and add to your creativity for yourself and then for the rest of the team and what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, to knock those ideas is irresponsible. To be responsible would mean to communicate with them and say, this is what we're doing now. This is what is working for us. Based on that, what suggestions do you have? And that's a great way to collaborate.
I think that's a great way, is opening up to questions and let them explain their methods and what they're trying to do. So take a look back on a project you've worked on and if you've acted that way before and think about what the outcome was.
And on the same topic of ego, no one enjoys a know-it-all, right? A know-it-all is someone that is always trying to offer what they believe to be the right solution. It's someone that might interrupt other people and offer their two cents. So if you have qualities like this, and I think we all do to a certain degree, the best thing you can do is to just always listen to your team members. And there's nothing wrong with sharing your learnings, but the best way to collaborate is by having a two-way conversation. It's not a one-way street.
Yeah, collaboration starts with being open to other ideas and like you said, Jake, listening to other people and what they have to offer.
And on the opposite of having an ego, there is also a tendency for some types of developers to work in isolation because that's just what comes natural for them. Something that I believe can stagnate collaboration is to not share your knowledge. So there needs to be a balance between not trying to overshare everything you know and be the know-it-all with the solution to every problem, and the person who knows so much but doesn't share it at all. Because a big part of how a team is going to grow and how you're going to be able to help strengthen your team members' skills is to share the new things that you've learned and for them to share what they've learned with you.
And in that collaborative spirit and working with your other team members and sharing those ideas, sharing those mistakes, sharing those responsibilities and focusing on individual strengths, that all goes to that underlying thing of a great team is building up that trust between members.
Well said.
There's nothing more to say about that. That's what it's all about. Again, building up that trust with those on your team. And so being able to collaborate helps you build that trustworthiness so that other people know they can voice their opinions and their ideas and lead to a better product. Do we want to recap this?
Let's do it.
All right, Jake, we have four key pieces that allow you to build trust on a team. And having trust is the underlying aspect of having a healthy team. So what are those four aspects?
So those four aspects are communication, seeking responsibility, positive attitude, and collaboration on your team. Let's start with communication. Mike, why is communication important?
Communication is important because if you're not able to effectively communicate with those on your team, you can't share ideas. Everyone works in a silo and you can't be as performant as need be, nor can you be as honest as the team needs you to be and build trust.
Correct. And we talked about finding the right tools and using the proper tone of that communication depending on who it is you're communicating with. And then we talked about seeking responsibility.
Seeking responsibility is important for building a healthy team because when one person fails, the whole team fails.
Right. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So actively seek opportunities as ways to help out your team and the other teams you're working closely with. Then we talked about attitude.
And attitude's all about how you interact with your team members. Negativity promotes negativity, but positivity promotes positivity.
So be the developer you want to work with and foster a fun and efficient work environment. And then finally, we talked about collaboration.
Yeah, and what makes a great developer is not someone who can solve a problem, but those who can collaborate and leverage the strengths of others on their team.
So avoid ego and competitiveness. Always listen. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from others' mistakes, but also learn from others' successes.
I think that we got it, right?
Bam, that was awesome.
Those four things are what you need to build a healthy, effective, and positive team.
Healthy and positive development team. And notice how none of these actually involve hard skills.
It's all about the soft skills, all about building that trust. That's what it's about.
It's the non-technical side of being a developer.
You can't yet, unless you're really good at artificial intelligence, write something. I don't even know what I was going to say there. Something about writing code that produces trust. You can't do it.
Nope.
You can't do that.
Not yet. Can't be done. All right, Mike. So should we wrap this up?
Yeah, Jake, let's wrap it up. And I think it would be interesting for us to become the listeners at this point and turn it over to hear from you guys what you use to have an effective development team. And what are the four things you think build up trust on a team?
Yes, we'd love to hear. So please reach out to us on Twitter at DevUpPodcast. You can also shoot us an email at hello@developingup.com or join the conversation at developingup.com. You can leave a comment and see what other people are saying.
Yeah, and this episode will be available at developingup.com/7. So you can jump right into the community there.
And if you are enjoying the show, we would love a rating on whatever podcast platform it is you're listening on, whether it be Stitcher or iTunes, and share it with a friend if you think they could benefit from it as well. We'll share the love.
And share us your ideas about what else you want to hear about the non-technical aspects of being a developer. We'd love to have more things to talk about.
Absolutely. We got a lot of good things in the queue, but I'd love to hear what other people have to say as well.
Yep.
So yeah, I think that about does it. If you want to reach out to me, my name is Jake Reynes, and I am at Jake Reynes on Twitter.
And I'm Mike Miles, and I'm at MikeMiles86 on Twitter.
All right. We'll talk to everybody soon.
Talk to everybody next time.